Go ahead, wear some rad gear in public. We dare you. Endless swag is available in the stupid store at radradio.com.
Back we go to yesterday's show with this email from Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Send it in, R-A-D at radradio.com. We were going over things that women don't understand about men. Not that there's not the same list in reverse, but, you know, things like, how is it we can spend hours in a car and not really talk? Why is it we don't follow up questions on things like what your girlfriend does? How do we not know each other's birthdays? Things like this.
Last names.
The real reason I brought it up, because that's one of those topics you can bring up whenever, was because over the last couple weeks there's been a couple moments at Williams Manor where the night's been winding down and my wife and I are just sitting on the sofa and my wife will give me the old, babe, what's going on? What's in your head? And I'll say, nothing. And she'll get up, babe, I know you. And I'm like, nothing.
There has to be something in there.
I'm literally thinking about nothing other than trying to watch this show that we have on, and it, maybe not even that. Mike wrote in, a great reference for those that may know it. If you go back to the classic show Seinfeld, Elaine was the main lead character, and over the years, she had an on-again, off-again relationship with a guy named Putty. Actor's name is Patrick Warburton. He voices Joe on Family Guy. He tries to convince you that you should drink barefoot wine while you're watching football for some reason.
Oh,
other endeavors like that. And he, you know, he's kind of a doofus. He's a grease monkey. Becomes a car salesman, etc. Mike says you did a segment on how men can be literally thinking about nothing, and how this bothers women. And it reminded me of that episode of Seinfeld where Elaine and Putty are coming back from Europe. And Elaine starts to read. They're on the plane. Elaine starts to read. And Putty is just sitting in his chair, staring off into space. She says, do you want something to read? And he says, no. She says, are you going to take a nap? And he says, no. She says, are you just going to sit there and look at the back of the seat? And he says, yeah. And then she says, I can't take it. Nothing's changed. She says some more stuff. And he responds by saying, I don't know why I took you back in the first place. That's all true. Great scene. And while they're playing Putty off as a doofus, that is also very manlike, that we could just sit there on a plane. We're not watching. I mean, you might be watching. You know how they have the tracker, the planes flying over the ocean?
Yeah.
You might be watching that, but you're not really thinking about what the pilot's doing or anything. You're just watching it, and your brain's just off.
That's the part that kills me, because I can just sit wherever, right? Whether it's at the doctor's office or the seat on the plane, as we're talking about. And I don't have to have anything in front of me to watch. I don't have to have, you know, my phone. I like all those things, but I don't have to have them. I can just actually just sit there, but I'm still thinking of things.
Mm-mm.
As I'm sitting there. So that's the step I'm missing. Yes, of course, it's lovely to just sit there and none of those other distractions. What about your mind, that your mind just goes off too?
Kinda. So in my experience, I've noticed that when I'm thinking about nothing, like I'm kind of zoning out, I'll also notice that little voice in your head goes, why are you thinking about nothing? You should be thinking about something else. And then you focus on other things in the room and then you go down another tangent of a thought.
Yeah. That's more relatable.
So I can't think of a time where I actually sat there and thought of nothing, because when I zone out, it's often a blur of things all happening at once, and it's just getting lost in thought. And there's no voice, there's no control, it's all chaos, but it's relaxing for some reason. But you know, so I'll just zone out on the TV show and I'll forget that I'm even watching it, and then I'll come to and I'm like, whoa, where am I? How did I get here? Kind of a feeling. So I can't remember a time where I actually like sat about, maybe when I'm washing dishes.
But in that case, your mind does go somewhere else. Like you know how people talk about they can read, back when we have books. If you're under 30, Google what a book is, where you could read three pages and then go, what did I just read?
Oh, God,
yeah.
That's me.
But you are, in your example, your mind is going to something else.
Yeah, because the same thing with reading, because that's why I listen to audiobooks now, because I have such bad ADD, and I think it's just because we've been conditioned with so many stimulants happening everywhere with all the electronics and blah blah blah. But so when I'm reading, it's the same thing. I just start thinking about other things, and it just, but it doesn't really like come to anything. Like there's no point to it. So maybe that's what nothing is for me.
Yeah. See, my radio doctor, non-doctor diagnosis of you is exactly that. Brandon, your mind never really turns off while you're awake.
Nope.
You are always thinking about something.
Mm-hmm.
And there, there are wonderful qualities about that. I mean, look, I'm constantly thinking about the next thing, the next, I'm thinking about 18 things right now that have to do with the show, but I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm not thinking about anything at home, anything with the dogs, anything like that. Mm-hmm. But the ability to, at some point, just say mind off occurs. It can occur, but it's
crazy.
And it seems to be very common in men. I don't know, if it's the majority or not. Or
this is reminding me of something Kyle said yesterday that just cracked me up, where he was like, yeah, it's more the zoning out that you men do. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I tend to zone out in that moment where something important was said. Mm-hmm. And oh God, I laughed so hard at that throughout the day, because that is my Gary, my husband. Like, he's gotten much better at it, but now we can joke about it. I'll see that look in his eyes like, oh, okay, you might have to repeat the last 5 minutes, because I literally went somewhere
else. Well, and that's the worst part, is when you call us on it.
Yeah.
Where the woman will say, what did I just say? And you're like, oh my God. I have no idea. I was wondering why the Niners ran that play towards the end of the Super Bowl. I don't know.
What's even worse is when you have to ask them and you're like, hey, I completely zoned out. And then they give you that disappointing look. Mm. No, you wait for them to ask.
No, you're doing it wrong.
What do you do?
Oh, it's all in the phrasing, man. Right. This is like, I'm a salesman. It's all in the presentation. You didn't zone out. You didn't zone out. Hey, babe, I need to get a clarification, because I really want to make sure that I understand what you're talking about, because it's clearly very important to you. Can you maybe rephrase that so I understand exactly what you meant?
Well, she's listening, so I don't know if any of this will work on her now.
Yeah. Hopefully she will, without saying, well, what specifically do you need me to re-explain? Because it gets a little ugly. Hopefully she'll go, okay, well, here's what I mean. And then you really pay attention and you focus in. Because you're right. When you tell them I zoned out, you get the droopy basset hound eyes, and it's like, well, I mean, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm sorry.
I'm a man, and it happens.
We have managed to work out something that works really well for us, only because when we first got together, I would get so upset by this, because it was my issue of how upset I would get, because I was just never heard as a child, right? So it's like, now you're not hearing me. And like, it used to just really affect me. And I'm like, okay, this is obviously my issue. This is, men do this. Okay, we got to find a way. And so now I'll be like, I could see that look in his eye where he's like, oh no. And you can tell he's like feeling bad. Like, oh God, wait, I could see how his eyes just tuned in again. So I'll look at him and this took years, because now it does not bother me at all. And I'll just look and laugh and go, okay, what is the last thing you heard me say?
Yeah.
Right? And then I'll just pick up from there. Or we'll do a fun little quiz thing. I'm like, did you get this part or that part? And then I'm good. It's like, okay, you didn't get all the little things, side streets that I did, and that's fine. I don't expect that of you. That's for girlfriend talk. But okay, awesome. You got the main gist.
We've just fallen into, because I don't think we ever talked about it, but we've fallen into more of a preemptive pattern, where Christina will say to me, hey, babe, are you, she might start the sentence. She might say, you know, I heard Kyle say, and then she'll stop and go, babe, are you up for down about the show? Do you want, or do you want to not talk about the work? Or, it can be anything. Now the unspoken agreement is, if I say yes, I got to engage. I got to pay attention. And if I say no, if I say, I don't want to think about work. I God only knows what you're going to tell me, Kyle said. So no. And that, the agreement on her end is, okay, I'll save it, or it's not that important.
That's great. Because like, that took me years to finally, like, because you just want to jump in and start talking. Finally, after years, and now it's been going on for quite a while, I'll do that as well. But it took a while where I'm like, are you up for a conversation? Right? Like, where are you at right now? Because I don't know, right? Like, I mean, he might be waiting for something with work. There might be something. I don't know. He's got another pool shot that's so important that he plays pool with Rob. I don't know. It's like, what?
A cell phone pool. It's yeah, not like we're yeah, going yeah. to each other's houses and yeah. playing pool.
Yeah. I'll check in. Like, are you up for like a conversation where you actually have to pay attention?
By the way, all of this reinforces what Brandon has been saying for 15-ish years during the Dr. Rob segments, that when we're talking about relationships, the answer to almost every single solitary question, problem, incident, consideration is communication. Speaking of Dr. Rob, we had an email yesterday, a very short email from a guy whose wife, she has some lumps, some bumps, and they got a mammogram coming up, and it was like, what do we do? What? That was it. I mean, that was like the whole email. And so we talked about the fact that, well, whatever it is there. And what you do right now is you don't worry about it. You comfort her if she needs it. You wait till you know what it is, because it could be nothing. And then once you know what it is, you jump into action. And I mentioned that this is one of the reasons that I love the phrase that people mock endlessly, and they've never been able to explain to me in an intelligent way why they mock it. I love the phrase, it is what it is, because it explains everything. When we first came to Sacramento 25 years ago, and the show was completely different than anything had that anybody had ever heard, it remains that way for a lot of people, and it could push the envelope, it could be offensive, things like that. The answer that the program director at the time that would give people or sponsors, clients that would call, that would say that they didn't like this certain segment or whatever, they would say, well, it's the rad show. It is what it is. Yeah. That's the show. That's what you're getting. And people who say, oh, that's just so stupid. I go, can you explain to me why? Why is it stupid to say it is what it is? The woman has lumps in her breasts. They exist. They're there. All we're waiting to do is find out what they are and what you can do about it. So Natalie wrote in and said, I love that saying. I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer a year ago. I cried for a day. And then I was like, why am I crying? It's not going to fix anything. And I never cried again. I stayed. I don't think she means in her whole life. I think she means about, I mean, she's a woman. That's not possible.
The process.
I stayed positive. I beat cancer and I had a bilateral mastectomy at 38 years old. I hated it when people pitied me. Cancer feeds off negativity. People don't seem to notice that. Speaking of that, by the way, see if I can step in another crap hole here.
Oh,
because this is my wife twice has offered to not drink while I've been going through this process. She has said to me, babe, would you rather I not have a drink or a few drinks when I get home from work? And the first time was very like, no, babe, please, come on, just do what you want. The second time I got more serious because I said to her, look, you not enjoying yourself or doing whatever you need to do for you doesn't make me feel any better. I said, this is why for 20 years I have railed against and will continue to rail against people who shave their heads because their friends have cancer. It's despicable. It's disgusting. It is so to, in a way, deform yourself voluntarily because your friend is going through a process in which they lose their hair while they're fighting a disease is some of the sickest thinking I've ever heard of. Yet again, an argument we can have at another time. We've had it many times on this show, and I'm happy to do it with you again. But to me, it's the same mindset.
So I get you're saying it's the sickest mindset. Sorry to bring up the debate, but how is it sick if you come from a good place thinking like, oh, I'm doing this as a companionship. I'm doing this so they feel good too. Is it reflecting something they don't want to do that you think is something that's helping them when it really isn't?
If the person who has, in this example, cancer and has lost their hair feels good about it, I think they're sick and disgusting. Why in the world do I want you to get rid of your hair for no reason at all when my reason is my hair has gone for? Why do I want you to do anything unless you already wanted to shave your head and look like Michael Jordan? I mean, if you're already going to do it, then that's not why you're really doing it, is to make me feel better. I'm not questioning the intentions necessarily of the people who do it. They usually think they're being nice and kind and caring. Some of it do it for a look at me thing. Yeah. Some of it do it for a, oh, aren't I great? I'm in solidarity with Rob because he has cancer. I don't. That's a different thing. I'm just using it as an example. I find nothing redeeming about it at all whatsoever. It's repulsive to me.
So I don't now in my current life, maybe it came with age with me or whatever, that fine. I mean, if that's what the cancer patient and their friends have decided, I fine. I mean, everyone's different. Everyone processes things differently and all of that. For me, if I had cancer and lost my hair, I don't want my friends to lose their hair. And if someone came to offer because they thought it was a sweet gesture that I wouldn't feel alone, I'd be like, no, what I want you to do is help me find either help me become comfortable with my baldness, or let's go find a really cool wig or whatever that is, right? Or, the, oh my God, the cutest scarves ever that are out there. I just personally wouldn't want them to have to, like, do that. But, and I guess, again, not trying to judge, but I do still, like, if I see the photos, I'm like, oh man, are you doing the look at me and what I did for my friend? Or are you genuinely thinking you're hoping to inspire people to be supportive of a friend with cancer? Because, you know, you just never know someone's intention.
But the other thing is, too, and this is why I always question the intentions, is where does it stop? You just got diagnosed with whichever form of diabetes it is because you're obese. Well, I'll get morbidly obese with you to show support. Oh, you just came back from Iraq and you lost your leg. I'm going to go get my leg cut off. Where does it stop?
Well, the thing that I
it's absurd.
It's all our own experiences. People in my life that have cancer, they don't always want to think about cancer. So now if y'all show up and your hands are shaved, you know, like, I just, right, they just want to not talk about it. They just want to go and have a normal lunch and a normal day. And if they want to let us know what's happening, they will, and that type of
thing. And along those lines as well, the self-consciousness of it. Let's again transfer it over to, I'm not drinking right now. If we were to go out to a staff lunch, anytime we have, Kyle always gets a beer. If I notice that nobody at the table is ordering alcohol, the first thing I'm thinking is, what's going on here? What are you doing this because I'm not drinking? Because I don't want any of that. Don't put that on me.
So would it be the same if you got like a wristband that said like, stay strong, like, you know, cancer strong or whatever, or like a bumper sticker that says I'm in support of this person going through this symptom? Is it the similar mindset? No,
I mean, I don't know if it's a similar mindset. You're not in any way in those examples. You're not depriving yourself of anything. You're not depriving yourself of a drink, of your hair.
I gotcha. Okay.
You know, things like that.
Okay.
Hey, you know, if you wore a shirt on Monday that said, don't worry, Rob, you're going to lose all this weight because we assume I'm fat, I'd be like, all right, that's fine. That's funny. That's cool. But if you came in wearing a fat suit.
God, right?
Saying, I want to be as fat as you, Rob. And I'm like, no.
Bro, I've already got you beat anyways.
When that was like a conflict that was going on in my head when I had a cancer scare, and before I knew if I did, I was sitting there going, oh my gosh. I mean, we share so much on the show, and it might become visual depending on if how bad it was, but I almost didn't want to share it or tell anyone, right? Like, I don't know, because it just like it highlights you, but it is a conflict where it's like I've known people that haven't shared it, right? Maybe only two people know because they don't want people, they don't want all the attention.
A few more emails about my weigh-in tomorrow, 3 weeks from the day from when I was 171, but also haven't been drinking and have an appetite going through the roof. Christine says, I'm a labor and delivery nurse, so all of my patients are always hungry. Your appetite, Rob, is that of a mother who has given birth and finally gets to order food after laboring and not eating for sometimes over a day. Your recent weight gain reminds me of what we refer to our larger patients as Fluffy.
Aww. Oh, Fluffy's nice.
Stay happy, fatty. Remember, tacos taste better than being skinny. My guess is 176.6.
All right. That goes in the pile. I like the 0.6.
I mean, the scale is that exact. Eric says, I find this fascinating because I feel like I eat more when I drink, almost like I get the munchies like a pothead. Really irritates the kids when I eat all of their school snacks. With that said, I'm saying 173.8.
Man, that's the reason to have kids, so you can have all their snacks.
Yep. I don't know what happened to your fruit gushers. I'm sorry.
Jennifer says, here's our guesses on Rob's weight. Guess from the husband is 174.5. My guess is like Kyle, 169. I think he will lose weight with the alcohol
God,
gone.
Wouldn't that be infuriating?
And the last one is from Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Says, I would like to submit my own guess on the amount of fat Rob is packing on. It's going to be 173. Honestly, I don't think you will have put much weight on since most of what you describe eating is protein. Yeah. Now, if you were packing away bag after bag of Skittles like previous times, I would say you're going to blow up like a balloon. And in fact, when I think about it, the sweets are the things I'm avoiding the most in terms of cravings. Very strange.
Okay, I have a bathroom question, but it's not bowel movement. I want to know, are you going number one more? Because sometimes, from what I understand, alcohol, can it be like it can be like cause inflammation or whatever. And then sometimes if somebody stops that or even starts, you know, you're already eating a lot of protein. I know you already have before, but like is your body flushing that out? Because sometimes water weight, right? People will be like, oh my God, I lost 6 pounds, but it was all water weight, right? It wasn't like actual weight.
I honestly I have no idea or any way to track that, in the sense that, again, I've never exaggerated about this for more than a dozen years. I drink 100 ounces of water during the show. I go number one constantly all day.
But it's not more. Like your body's not flushing out more.
No. And okay. I'm not getting up in the middle of the night more than usual. And so
this is just helping me with my guess.
Okay. Which we'll all do tomorrow officially. For now, we're gonna play the pressure cooker. We've got a pair of tickets to see Chevelle at the Grand Sierra Resort in Reno on April 23rd. The pressure cooker is our daily trivia game that we play every single day, although we don't get a winner every single day.
We sure don't.
It's trivia. You either know it or you don't.
You don't.
5 right in 30 seconds is what it takes, and none of that matters unless you're caller 18 right now.
You can do it.
888-989-9811. Caller 18 plays the pressure cooker.
Rob.
Anybody.
And Dawn. The Rob.
Anybody.
And Dawn Show.